We're having a lot of fun producing La Rundown, so we're seeking support from advertisers to help keep it going for the long run. You can help too. We have a short anonymous survey that shouldn't take longer than a pre-run warm-up. Your answers will help us find great advertisers that help match the cadence of each show and your interests. Complete the survey and enter for a chance to win a pair of Skechers Performance running shoes. You can find the survey link in the episode description. Terms and conditions apply. Welcome to La Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders. They'll share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite runners to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Previously on La Rundown with Tony O'Keefe.
I just found it so rewarding. I felt so good about me that I thought, okay, like this is the elixir. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about you. It matters what you think. And I started to grow up. You know, I started to mature, and I became proud of myself. So I signed up the second time, and that hurt a whole lot more.
On this episode of La Rundown, I speak with pro vegan triathlete and coach Antoine Jolicoeur Desroches. He discovered a passion for endurance sports at a young age, enjoying cross-country skiing in the winter and short track triathlon in the summer. Now 25, he's been vegan and racing pro for the last 5 years. In 2018, he placed fourth at Ironman Mont Tremblant. We'll be tracking and cheering him on as he aims even higher this year. Are you already subscribed to La Rundown, running with WRG, and still can't get enough? Sign up to their weekly newsletter and always stay connected. You can learn more about what's happening in the run community, hear about exclusive run events, and stay up to date with the podcast. Just go to iamarunner.ca and subscribe. Simple as that. You'll never miss a beat. In this week's news, sometimes there's nothing more energizing than starting our day with an early morning run. It's a great way to get our blood moving, pump some fresh oxygen into our lungs, and clear our mind before tackling a busy day. Unfortunately, this meditative and nourishing experience can sometimes be derailed. On July 18th, a woman runner was met with a rude and disturbing awakening at approximately 7:30 on her morning run in Cambridge. The runner and former member of the Israeli military ran past a man, and in that instant, he exposed himself to her. The runner decided not to let him get away. She chased him down, tackled him, and asked witnesses for help. When no one stepped forward, the man slipped away while she tried to call the police herself. Cambridge authorities are now looking for the suspect. While we certainly don't recommend ever putting yourself in danger, we are impressed with the runner's bravery in confronting her attacker. Her experience in the military surely gave her the courage to not let the suspect ruin her morning run. As runners, it's easy to lose ourselves in our stride. Remember to always maintain awareness of your surroundings. For women runners especially, the risk of being attacked are higher. Grab a running buddy, join a run club, or use a headset that is voice activated to make calls in case of an emergency. Stay fit, have fun, and be vigilant. Does running make you sleep better? Does sleeping make you run better? By now, we all know that getting good night's sleep has a variety of positive benefits on our health. It can reduce stress, improve heart health, and has been known to help prevent cancer. How does it help runners specifically? This is a question that researchers from Singapore and Australia helped answer with a study on how sleep interacts with endurance training. The study put endurance cyclists through various levels of sleep restriction and extension to observe the effects they would have on their performance. What they found might inspire you to call it an early night and get a few more hours of shut-eye. Endurance cyclists who had less than their average night's sleep, about 5 hours compared to an approximate 7 hours, displayed a 3% decrease in performance. Interestingly, they reaped a 3% increase in performance when their sleep was extended to 8.5 hours. But how did it feel? While their performance increased with extra sleep, the athletes in the trial admitted that the exercises felt just as challenging with less sleep. The important takeaway here has something to do with what exercise scientists call psychomotor vigilance. Increased sleep improves their ability to maintain and sustain alertness. It also put them in a better mood. Endurance training will always be challenging, but we can enjoy being challenged and increase our performance if we make sleep a priority. Sleep better, run better, rinse and repeat. Make sure to check the show notes for links and more information. That's all for now. Gotta run. A lot of people ask me with all the training that I do as a vegan athlete, how I fuel, how I get my protein for all this kind of training. I'm going to get to go in depth a little bit more with my next guest, who's a pro triathlete, who's also a vegan. So we're going to get to discover that a little bit more with Antoine Joly-Kerr. So thank you for joining us on The Rundown.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah.
It's great to have you up here. It's cool to get to meet you in Mont-Tremblant for the Ironman 70.3 weekend, which you'll be racing tomorrow, right?
Yeah, only a few hours away from the race.
And how do you feel going into it?
Yeah, I feel pretty good. I think I feel like the mental is such a big aspect of the sport, and so I always want to be in a good mindset going into the race, and like, to be excited, but not to be too stressed out. And into the week, I was maybe not worried. I was getting too excited or too stressed. But now I feel like today, just meeting my friends and my competitors, and most of my competitors are all friends. So we just went swimming with a few other pros triathletes, and it was lots of fun. So I think like the chill vibe is good. I feel pretty relaxed, so I think that's a great mindset to go into a race, not feeling too stressed out, just excited to have fun and push hard. So yeah,
the training's kind of done. Let's just go.
Yeah, there's not much you can do the day before a race. It's not the day to start training.
That's yeah. It. That's what I always love. It's like, oh, you know, people panicking about stuff. It's like, well, you did the work, like, or you didn't.
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow.
We'll find out tomorrow
if I did the work. Yeah,
that's it. I always like to find out a bit about how people grew up and what their athletic background's like. So can you tell us a little bit about yours?
Yeah, when I grew up, like as a young kid, I did pretty much like all the sports, like soccer, baseball, basketball. But I was really bad at all those sports, especially like baseball. I was horrible when I was playing as a really young kid. And like in elementary school, I played with the like basketball team, but I was really bad. I was just running around everywhere. So I soon found out I was better in endurance sport. And I just, and especially like individual races, I really like it because you really can push yourself. And if you have a good race, it's because you did well. And if you have a bad race, it's because you didn't perform well. So I think, maybe I'm like more introvert. So I think endurance, it fits well with people who like to be with themselves. And, just to be able to push for long distance. So that's when I started to do cross-country skiing because I live up north in, I grew up in Moronite and then I moved to Saint-André-Lac, which is like close to Saint-Sauveur. So there's like so many nice cross-country skiing trails. So, and I just love like being outside. I think that's what I love the most about like cross-country skiing, and you can push so hard. I think like cross-country skiing is one of the most like complete sport because you've got both the, it's so muscular, but it's also like you need to have like a really good cardiovascular system. Like the athletes have the best VO2 max. Most of them are cross-country skier because they're like super muscular and they're super strong. So I just really loved it, but the season is so short for cross-country skiing because like the winter is so short in Quebec. So you need to train all year long. So we did like cycling and running. So I just did a triathlon just for fun. And I just loved it. And
what age was that?
I think that was maybe like right now I'm 25. So maybe that was 10 or 11 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
So still a few years back. And for a few years I was doing both like triathlon in the summer and cross country skiing in the winter. But then like as you improve, each sport takes so much more time, and especially in triathlon, you need to be able to swim so really fast. Because I was doing elite races where it's like the cycling is a peloton, so like in Tour de France, so you need to be able to swim fast enough to be in the first pack. So in shorter races, in ITU races, which is an international triathlon union, there's drafting, so the swimming is a lot more important than in long distance. Mm. So that's why, like, all winter I had to swim, and I wasn't, so I had to choose between the two, and I felt like I just love triathlon, and because I could do it all year long compared to cross-country skiing, that's why I chose triathlon. But I still do some cross-country skiing in the winter because I feel like it's one of the best sport for cross-training.
It's like a complementary sport.
Yeah, and it's actually really good for, like, also injury prevention, because you, like, there's no, you're just gliding, so there's no impact like running, and also it works different muscle, especially like skate skiing, because you go like from sideways, whereas like in running you're always going like straight forward.
Unilateral.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So you like you work out your like adductor and your abductor, so that's that's nice. Really good for that, and just to get strong with your upper body. And also, it's like, it's a lot more fun to do 3 hours of cross-country skiing outside in the sun than to do 3 hours on the trainer in your paint cap with nothing else to do. So, yeah, I think it's also the fun aspect of it is good in the winter, yeah.
Cool. Who introduced you to triathlon? Like, I'm always curious, like, at a young age, I started playing soccer and hockey, but it was like 12. It was late. For most kids, like, I started at 12 years old because I asked my dad, like, hey, can I play hockey? Yeah. And he's like, yeah, no problem. Did someone encourage you to do that, or did you have friends doing it? Like, what was the
reason? Yeah, I think it was friend on my, not sure if it was elementary school or high school, but like people I hang out with who are doing triathlon in the summer, and I was swimming with them because when I was doing cross-country skiing, I was still swimming. In my high school and doing some competition, but not swimming like super, not doing some really high competitive stuff, just swimming like 2 or 3 times per week. And so I already knew how to swim, and I knew they were doing triathlon. So it just looked so much fun because, like, I'm doing only one sport, but they're doing 3 sports every single day. I'm like, whoa, that's so much more fun because you can improve in each different sport. And, yeah, I just gave it a try. And actually, my first triathlon was a duathlon because the swim was canceled. So, but then I tried it, a real triathlon, and I really like it. Yeah.
Cool. And like, what was the first experience like? Do you remember what the first race was, and or how much training you put in, and or was it just like you were a kid and you just go out there and?
I think I was training pretty like sort of seriously because I was still training for cross country skiing. But for me, I was just going there like, okay, I'm gonna do it just to get fit. But yeah, in cross-country skiing, we're like, I wouldn't say like serious because we're just like kids having fun. Like before the practice of skiing, we're just doing jumps with our cross-country skis. Yeah. But we're still like, some days we're like training twice a day on the Saturday. And like cross-country skiing is so intense. Then you do a few hours and you're done. Like you're pretty tired. So yeah, I think, but it was just like about having fun and pushing yourself to the limit. And I think that's what sport should always be, no matter your level. It's just about having fun and pushing your limit even further as you progress.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's all like always having fun is like a good motto to have. Like I find, well, you see it on the weekend, like so many people take the race event so seriously and they lose sight, you know, how lucky we are to be doing some of these things, the way we're doing them, and we're literally doing because we can do it, you know. It's like it's a privilege to be able to go out there on this weekend especially. And
yeah, I think sometimes you need to like remember that you're doing it for having fun, because it's easy to just be too serious. Like sometimes I get caught up in everything, in the training and the competition and like making sure everything works well, like my nutrition, my equipment, and then I'm like, okay, just remember, like just take a deep breath and remember, like, you're doing this for having fun. And then that's when I start to enjoy it even more. Mm-hmm. So I just some time part of the training is like I need to just reset and remember that this is why I'm doing it, like just to be outside and having fun.
And when did you realize that this is something that you could do more competitively and actually that you were actually good at it?
I think like the first few years, actually, like, right now, my strength was swimming, But when I started, I wasn't a strong swimmer. Like, I remember one day, like, my coach, like, pulled me out of the pool, and he was like, okay, you need to learn how to swim. And it just, like, we went in the changing room, and, like, in front of a mirror, and we just practiced swimming, like, outside, like, in the dry land, just to, okay, learn how to do a proper stroke. So, like, as before, like, right now, a lot of people, like, think that I used to be a really strong swimmer, but I was a poor swimmer, like, worked really hard to become a good swimmer. And like I said, like ITU races, you need to be a really strong swimmer to be competitive. So it took me a while to get good in the water, like in the swimming pool, and then to be able to transfer it in the open, like in lake and sea, because it's like completely different. Like you need to, some people are really good in the swimming pool, but they can't swim in the lake. So you need to like practice at it. But I think a few years after starting doing drafting triathlon, I became a bit more serious and did some like national championship and then like Pan Am. So in ITU, there's like all those kind of different levels. So it's like you start with what local races, and then you do the national races. Then you've got like races in Mexico or like Puerto Rico, which was more like camp tri. So just like North American or South American. And then you go to the next level, which is the World Cup level. Mm-hmm. And then you got the big level, which is the WTS, which is the World Triathlon Series. And this is like, the World Triathlon Series is like the in 80, in the tennis, when you have got like Wimbledon, you've got Roland Garros, all those big races, mm-hmm. Big competition. It's like the same thing. So the like the highest level I went was in a World Cup. And then that's when after that I discovered the long distance, and then I really loved it and switched to long course races.
Okay, cool. And what age was that now?
So right now it's my fifth year as a pro. And so 6 years ago I did my first 70.3 as an age group. Because before that I actually like I crashed in a race and I broke a small bone in my hand. So all my season was kind of, I couldn't really race because I couldn't swim. So I trained a lot. I was able to like to bike and to run. So I decided, oh, why not do a 70.3 just for fun? It was Muskoka, which was before that was in September. And I did it. I finished like 6th overall with the pro. So I was like first age group and close to the prize money. So I was like, oh, like one position, I would have been in the top five as a pro. Maybe I can do it and compete with the pros, which were like a lot older than me. I think I was maybe 18 or 19. So I was like, why not go for it? And I always felt like when I was a junior, I wanted to compete with the elite and do Olympic distance and a sprint distance. So I think I always wanted to do like the bigger races because I felt like I just enjoy it more when it's longer. So that's why I decided to switch from ITU to long distance. And it's like almost like two completely different sports. But yeah, they're both like great. Like ITU races are so challenging and exciting. And the level at the top is just insane. Like how fast they can run is just crazy. Yeah.
And what's the distance for the ITU stuff? Is it the Olympic distance?
They do both sprint and Olympic.
Okay.
Like usually for the Olympic Games, it's going to be an Olympic distance. But right now, I think they try to include more sprint distance because I feel it's more like TV friendly. Like it's more exciting to watch. And now they've started to do the relays. So it's like a super sprint race, which is super exciting to watch. Like. Mm-hmm. When I do my bike in my pain cave, I prefer to watch ITU races and sprint races than to watch a long Ironman because it's so exciting. They're like attacking on the bike. The swim is so fast. Like in ITU, you can't have any weakness. Like you need to be strong in every sport. So that makes it really exciting to watch. Yeah.
And were you winning those type of races, those short course races, or?
No.
You weren't.
Yeah, my biggest weakness is the run. So it actually goes like, I'm a good swimmer, I'm an okay biker, and then a good runner. So it's like, it goes decreasing during the race. So yeah. Like in a ITU races, I was able to be in the front pack on the swim, and I was able to stay in the pack on the bike. And sometimes I wanted to make the pack go faster, but you can't, it's really hard to go solo in a breakaway when there's like 20 people around you. So you're better to stay in the pack and conserve your energy for the run. And the run was my weakness. So I wasn't really able to perform like I wanted, which is maybe why I like really like the long distance stuff, because you can push yourself on the bike. And if you're a stronger, if you're a weaker runner, but like you just push more on the swim and the bike, and at least you have some advantage on the stronger runner. So I think that's what I really like about the long distance stuff.
You have time to like catch up.
Yeah.
And they say like you don't win a race on the swim, right? Like,
yeah, that's what they say. But I think it's like my dream race would be to win it from the swim. Mm-hmm. Like I've come close like a few times, but then I cut like on the run. Like one race was like, I think it was 3 weeks ago, 3 years ago. I think it went from being my best race ever to like a nightmare of a race. Cause I think I had like 3 minutes lead on the best triathlete after the swim, and then 7 minutes after the bike. So I had like 7 minute lead, but I was able to blew it completely on the run. Mm-hmm. But that race made me realize that it's actually possible to win it from the swim. And that's, I felt like it's so exciting to be able to be in the lead all the time and feel like you're being chased by like all those people. Like you feel like you're in carrot and there's like tons of rabbits like just try to catch you. Yeah.
Hunting you down.
Yeah. Kind of thing.
And do you prefer now the 70.3 or is Ironman distance?
I think I prefer the Ironman. I feel like Ironman is such a cool event. It's such like such an insane event, which makes it fun. I feel like the more insane the race, I think the most exciting it is, because like you know that the race is going to be really challenging. Like no matter how fast you are, like if you're a pro or if you just try to finish it in 17 hours, you're going to suffer the whole way. So I feel it makes the training even more exciting, because you know that you have to be really prepared to be able to just toe the line. So yeah, I just like the challenge of it, but you can't do that many Ironman races in a year. So that's why I try to mix it up with 70.3s. And since I'm still young, like last year I did only one full, and this year I plan to do two. So I'll try to increase it a little bit more, but I don't want to like step it up too much and do too many Ironman and then like burn out in a few years. And I think I still need to improve my power and my speed. And that's when you're young is the best time to try to improve that. So
yeah, you're so young at 25, like you have so many years ahead of you. And these type of races, and I'm learning this with marathoning, it takes time to build speed and build like mental toughness. Yeah. And all this stuff. How do you prepare for every event, every season, to get stronger and to improve when you're at such a high level already?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do is like after your season, like in August, like in fall, when you're done your season, you're in your off season, just to talk with your coach and like try to do like a recap of your season, like what races went well, what races went bad, and from those bad races, like what went bad? Was it like your nutrition? Was it your pacing, or was it your taper, your preparation? Like find out what went wrong, and then to improve on your weaknesses, and just work harder on that. I feel like you need to train your weaknesses, but you race with your strength. Like for me, like my weaknesses is running, so I try to right now try to improve a lot on my running. I do a lot more speed work, and I just moved recently to Trois-Rivières, which is where I do my study, and my coach lives there, and we train with. There's me and another pro and who does long distance stuff, but most of the squad is ITU racers, and most are like juniors or first year U23. So they're like super fast, super strong. So this is really cool for me to be able to do like track workouts with them to try to improve my run, because this is where I can get a lot more time. Like I know I can get maybe a few seconds max, 1 or 2 minutes on the whole entire swim in a full Ironman, but I can probably get 10 minutes on the run and maybe as much time on the bike. So this is where I, like all the time I need to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you say your run's not the strongest, but what's your marathon? Let's be honest.
I never done a marathon by itself, but in Tremblant last year, I ran in 2:58.
Okay, so there you go.
I'm hoping to do like low 250s this year. Like I would love to do on good 250 in Ironman, but I think low 250, like 252, I would be like really happy with it.
Yeah, just to chop a couple minutes off would be nice. I think I felt that way too when I was doing the event. I was like, okay, because the dream is to go to Kona, right? Like, as an age grouper.
Even as a pro, it's like it's a big dream. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's the mecca. It's the best thing you can do. So I was like, okay, well, if I focus on my running and take a break from triathlon, I can come back a stronger runner and hopefully, like you know, like trying to gain some time, gain some position. For me, it's on the run. Like I love to run, but you can look. That's the nice thing about all three sports. Like I'm definitely a weak swimmer. I can there's places to attack. You know. But that's a lot of fun to think about.
And I feel what's interesting right now, I feel like in the pro field gets a lot more competitive each and every year. And there's a lot more tactics now. So it's almost, people almost race it as an ITU race. Because you see in Kona, there's like big packs. And like if you're, even though the swim is so short, it's like 15 minutes compared to like 8 hours. But if you're like 2 minutes back from the leader out of the swim, it's really hard to catch from them. So it's like, even though it's not a long time, it's still important to be able to be in the front. So I feel like it's getting even more exciting every single year, because if people like, you see like Alistair Brownlee just coming to Ironman racing. I think like today he's racing Ironman Ireland. So it's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to see.
Tony is too. Tony O'Keefe.
He's doing Ireland too?
He's doing Ireland as well.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah. And I was going to say that you were talking about packs. You know, packs on the bike, but you're not allowed to draft. So how does that work?
Yeah, you're not allowed to draft, but you're allowed to be 12 meters behind the people in front of you. Mm-hmm. But still, like being 12 meters, there still might be a few like watts you can save by being behind someone in 12 meters if there's like really big wind, especially like front wind. But it's also like mentally just being to be able to just follow someone. So you don't need to look at your watts. You don't need to look at your pace. You just need to follow. And so, but personally, I don't like to be in a pack. I just prefer to be myself. I feel like it takes out too much energy to also, because I really don't want to get a drafting penalty. So sometimes like I want to pull back even more, like be at 15 meters. But like when you're at 15 meters, like people just cut you off. Because they want to be exactly at 12 meters. Mm-hmm. And then you also don't want to be like too close and get a drafting penalty. So I find it just too stressful to be like in a pack. So I just prefer to do my own race. So hopefully up the front, be on my alone with nobody. That's the dream place to be in a race. But yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah, there's so much to think about. Like mentally, like you say, it's super challenging.
And it's such a long race. And like your legs are burning. You've got lactic acid everywhere. So you still, at the same time, you still have to think about like, okay, am I too close or not too close to the other person? Like that's too much stuff to think for a big race like that. Yeah,
for sure. So let's get to the nutrition part, because I'm really curious. I've been vegan 2 years now.
Oh, nice.
And like I get asked all the time, like, what do you eat? Like, how do you get protein? Like there's some questions. Yeah. People ask that are pretty standard, you know, but how do you make it work for an Ironman? Like what does your day to day look like? Like how long have you been vegan and how have you kind of figured it out along the way here?
Yeah, I've been vegan for 5 years now. Actually, like I think my first year as a pro, I became vegan. So now it's my fifth year. So it's easy to remember.
Yeah.
And I think I was vegetarian like 3 years before that. So now it's going to be 8 years. And for me, it was relatively easy because I didn't go like cold turkey. Like I didn't went vegan like right away. I just started to cut like red meat and then pork and then like chicken and then fish. So it was just easy. I'll stop eating that. I'll replace it with other food. So that made it a lot easier for me. And then 5 years ago, I saw Cowspiracy, the movie. Talks a lot about the environmental impact of animal agriculture. So that made me change, like, okay, I don't want to eat cheese anymore, no eggs and no cheese. But I wasn't eating much of those anyway because I was gradually becoming vegan. So that was like an easy process to do, but it was just a long process. But
How have you found it, like in your training? And do you feel like you have as much energy? Are you as strong as you were before? Like, you know, like Lionel Sanders even changed. I think it was even as close last year, right?
Yeah.
And then went back because, I mean, he had a bad performance and kind of maybe said that it was a bit having to do with that.
Yeah.
Or changed in diet maybe too soon and didn't implement it.
Yeah, I think
it
was actually not eating enough because... Like usually before a race, you do like big carbo load, but he was actually trying to lose weight just before the race. So when you're racing without any glycogen is like the sugar you have in your muscle. You need those sugar to be able to race a full Ironman. So I think that's why sometimes when you hear about someone trying to be vegan and didn't work out, you also need to think about, okay, what was he actually eating and was he doing it like... in an intelligent way, like, or was it too maybe like too cold turkey and like right away did try to change it and didn't work. But maybe there was a better way to do it, or more maybe a more slowly and gradual way to do it. But
and what would you suggest, what do you feel is the best way to get into it, like obviously gradually, but like what are some key foods that you like to eat, like to make sure, like vitamins that are important to get?
I think one of the biggest error people do, and that's an error I did, because I actually tried to become vegan before I actually became vegan, like a few months ago, and I tried to do it too, just like too cold turkey, like, and I was trying to eat too healthy, maybe like trying to just eat too raw, or like try to remove like grains and stuff and try to be like too perfect. And when you try to be too perfect, as soon as you're not perfect, you give it away. Like it's like, oh, it's not working out. But you need to remember that as an athlete, carbs are your friends. Like you need to eat carbs to be able to perform. So like pasta, rice, quinoa, bread, you still need to eat those. So everybody eats those, so they're all vegan. So it's not something that's like a lot of people are like, what's vegan like? But like a lot of the stuff you eat are actually vegan, like all the carbs, which is maybe 70% of most athletes' diet is carbs, so it's mostly vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think trying to remember that nutrients is really important, but also like you need, when you train a lot, like you train for an Ironman, calories are also really important. So to remember that you need to replenish the fuel you've lost in the training. And like the food I like to eat a lot is like bananas are like one of a big staple. I like simple food like peanut butter, almond butter, I like dates. I'm a big fan of quinoa. I feel like quinoa, it's really easy to digest. And when you're training like 3-4 times per day, you need something that can fuel you quickly, but that won't like make you feel like so full, because you maybe have to do a swim like 1 hour after. So I think it's great because also it's a good source of protein.
There we go, protein.
We found already talk about it.
And plants have a lot of protein too.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's a big misconception that you need to eat meat to be strong and to have protein. But there's lots of plants who have protein, and also like each vegetable have amino acids, and you need those amino acids to make a full protein. So like a carrot is not a complete source of protein, but when you eat all those different vegetables together in a full day, you combine all those amino acids in your body, and then it makes the full protein. Like before, we used to think in like nutrition science, we used to think that you had to eat those two food together. Like rice is not a complete source of protein, and bean neither. But when you eat them together, because one is lacking a specific amino acid and the other one is lacking another specific amino acid, when you put it together, it makes a complete source of protein. But we used to think that you had to eat them together at every meal to make a complete protein. But if you eat it like in a day or even like in the next 2 days, you're fine. So it's really not that complicated. You don't need to like write everything down to make sure you get everything, all your grams of carbs or proteins at every meal. I think just the key, I think, is to be able to eat a well-diverse diet and try to like eat the rainbow, like eat foods of different colors, fruits and vegetables, and you'll be more than fine. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll feel a lot better. And for people who try to like to become vegan, one of the thing I try to say is just instead of like talking about cutting meat, just say about talk about adding fruits and vegetables and grains. Like, because I feel like when you talk about cutting stuff, it's more like negative, but you're just like, okay, maybe like meat is like half your plate right now and the rest is grains and vegetables. Well, just make it one quarter meat and the rest grains, vegetables, and other stuff. So gradually you just start to add more plant-based food in your diet. You'll probably and definitely feel a lot better because of all the nutrients and inflammatory agents in the food. And then you'll just want to eat more plant food. So I think that's a great way to do it as a positive way of adding more good stuff in your diet instead of trying to cut back the maybe bad stuff of your diet.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm never trying to influence people to become vegan. It's always more of like answering questions that they might have on this. So like, that's really interesting that you like settle all that stuff. Like, how like just reducing your meat intake is not necessarily a bad idea. And also by doing that, you bring in more like I found I was eating more vegetables and more fruits and more like more healthy things, which I was probably lacking before, but I thought that the meat was replacing all that when I was eating meat. So I feel good. Yeah. I don't know.
You can go like, there's like different ways you can go. You can go like maybe like trying to cut back every one meat per like week or something like that. Or you can actually go, one of the ways I think it's a great way is just to start with breakfast, because breakfast is the easiest way to eat vegan, because most people like, unless you eat bacon and eggs every single day, there's a big chance that you're already eating a vegan breakfast. So like oatmeal or cereals if you eat almond milk or soy milk or just toast. So just start by your breakfast. You're like, well, I already started my day with a vegan vegan meal. So 1/3 of my day is already vegan. So the rest of the day you can eat as you do normally, but gradually you start to just eat vegan snacks like hummus and vegetables or crackers or nuts. And then you go with lunch, because lunch is also pretty easy. Like you just bring a sandwich to work or a small salad. And then you go to the supper, which is, I think the supper is the something that's the most challenging, especially for like maybe like, I remember as a kid, like to say to your family and your parents, like, okay, I'm going to eat vegan, so I'm going to have to eat completely different than everything for you. Or like, sometimes it's hard for people to explain that to their family. Mm. And like, because they have to change everything. So maybe the supper sometimes is the most challenging stuff, because that's when also like you're at a party or stuff like that, like people ask you questions. So I feel like maybe the supper is the maybe more challenging. But if you already you've done your breakfast vegan for a few weeks, your snack vegan for a few weeks, and your lunch vegan for a few weeks, you're already like so habituated with that. So I feel like it makes the transition a lot easier. And that's where I feel like stuff like tofu dogs or like tofu hot dogs or tofu sausages and meat burgers are a great tool, because it makes the transition a lot easier for people like that. And it's so much easier to just bring those type of food at barbecue, at like even like in a holiday when you're going to your like aunt and you don't know what they're gonna eat. At least you've got your meat and you're fine with that, and you can just eat the sides that's on the table. So that makes it a lot easier for you and for the guests and the people hosting, because like you're taking care of it and you don't have to worry about it. Because sometimes they're like, what are you gonna do? Like, I don't know what's vegan food. We're like, but do you have potato? I'm fine. You got potato and salad. Like, I'm fine for the supper. Yeah.
That's what I always find is the toughest, the dinner parties. Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm going to bring some samosas for everybody, and then they'll be happy with it.
Yeah, if you make, and actually that's a good point, like you make more food so that people can taste it, and they're like, especially like dessert, like if you make a really good brownie or vegan chocolate cake, and that doesn't taste at all like it's a vegan, people are going to be like, wow, that's actually vegan?
Yeah.
And then they're going to ask you a question, they're like, well, what did you use instead of eggs? You're like, well, I use chia seeds. And they're like, wow, chia seeds. And then you start having a good conversation about nutrition and stuff. So I think it's a good way, like cake is a good way to start a conversation about veganism.
Yeah, it's just a matter of education, I think. And it's...
And I think good, like you said, having a good mindset, a positive mindset, and not being negative, I think it's the right way. Like it's a lot better when people ask you a question than when you try to talk them about it. Yeah,
exactly. And you're studying this as well, right? Like nutrition and stuff.
Yeah, so I did double back in one was food science and the other one was nutrition science at McGill, and I just started a master in sports science, but I focus mostly in nutrition sciences. I've done all my study in nutrition. I still want to be involved in sport nutrition because I feel it's so interesting. And when you do undergraduate in nutrition, you learn a lot, but you don't learn specifically about sport nutrition, which is what I found I was lacking. I wanted to be like really go in the deep of sport nutrition, and it's crazy how many studies you can like just look into it, and like there's so many stuff you can learn about sports, and it's always like it's a field of study that's always evolving. Like just simple stuff like hydration, there's still like no consensus of like what's the actual like good strategy to go with. So, and like, as you know, like there's so many different type of diets, like which one is the best one for an athlete and stuff like that. So I think it's a really fascinating field of study. And I'm learning like every single day about sport nutrition. And it helps me a lot as like an athlete and as a coach. Like I can learn a lot from it, which is, if you're interested in reading about it, it makes your study a lot easier, because probably like anyway, I would have been reading about those stuff anyway. So if it helps also with my thesis, that's a good thing too.
I was gonna say, like, did you get into that for selfish reasons? Because like as an athlete, like to know more about, like they say that in triathlon it's like the fourth sport, you know,
yeah,
because nutrition's so important, you know. But yeah, it's kind of cool that you're studying it as well and can practice what you preach.
Yeah, you practice on yourself and you learn about other stuff. And I feel like everything is always changing. They always find like another study who's challenging something else, and yeah, that makes it fun like for me too. And also I wasn't sure if I wanted to study sport nutrition because I was also like super into like sport psychology, but I find like the mind is so fascinating and can learn so much about it. But then I decided to go with sport nutrition, but I'm still learning too a lot of stuff about how we can just become stronger in your mind, because like nutrition is like the fourth part of triathlon, but all the mental training is like maybe the fifth part or something like that. Because at the end of like the seventh hour of an Ironman, I find like it's the mind makes you move. It's not the legs. Like your legs are dead, but if your mental is strong, you can still keep moving. So how can you actually dig deeper and be able to push through? Like one of the person I look up to is like Kendall Sanders. Is like one of the, it's for sure a really strong person. Like he's really good physically, but I think his best strength is his mental skill is crazy. He's able to push like to a whole new level, and sometimes it helps him like a lot in a race and training, because he can dig a hole and like really push himself to its absolute limit. And sometimes it's a double blade, because when you're like that strong mentally, sometimes you can go too deep and get injured and stuff like that. So it's like you need to have to be able to deal with everything like that. But like I would like to be able to like study his brain to see what's actually happening at the end of an Ironman, when he's like still pushing the pain, when every single inch of your body is like screaming to stop.
Would you say that's a part of your game that's evolved over time? Is it something you struggled with in the past, like earlier on in your career?
I'm not sure. It's weird. Like, I feel like it's more like it fluctuates. Like, some races, you feel like you've been able to really dig deep and push your limits, and that's when you feel really proud, like, no matter your time or your result, like, if you feel like you've given everything. But some races, I know for any reason, like, your mental is not there and you're not able to push through. So I think for me, it's not... And when I'm able to push through, I can really push through to, like, absolute limit and, like, even, like, collapse. But for me, I think what I would like to do is be able to push to my limit, be more constant with my mental strength, you know? Because I feel like it fluctuates. Like, some races, I'm able to push a lot. Some, I feel like I'm being weak and, like, or something, like, my back is hurting and I'm not able to push. But I would like to be able to, even though my back is hurting or other somewhere else, I'm still able to push through the pain. And so being more constant with my mental strength, that will be like my biggest thing I want to achieve. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, what's been the toughest part of being a pro triathlete? Like, what's the biggest challenge you faced so far?
I think maybe it's definitely not the training, because I love the training. I love to push myself in training and in races. I think maybe as a pro triathlete, you sort of have some expectation, like you need to perform. Like, and I felt like I've dealt with it pretty good over the years, but like some races, I feel it more than others, and I feel like it takes energy out of me. So I think that's one of the big challenge as a pro triathlete, because even every people has their own expectation, but like, especially like someone really good, like Jan Frodeno, who's like everyone in the world is looking at him when he performs, that he must have lots of pressure to perform to. But like for me, I'm not at the level of Jan Frodeno, so there's a lot less pressure, but I still feel it, because I want to perform to my best abilities. So I think that's something you can deal with, maybe while like being with yourself, like taking deep breaths and stuff like that, like doing yoga and stuff like that. I've been like gone deep into meditation. That's something I want to do more. Like, I've tried a few times, and I feel like I'm someone with so much energy that I'm having such a hard time to just sitting down and do nothing. But I think that's something that could help me be able to deal with pressure and expectation a lot more. Because you're able to just remove stuff for like a few minutes, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's and I've asked this question to some other professionals. Like, is that the thing that changes? Like, you know, you go from age grouper to then professional, and then so like, is do you change? You said there's pressure as well. Do you feel like you've changed at all, or has it always been the same, Antoine? And you just kind of keep doing what you're doing and try to improve.
Yeah, I hope I didn't change. I feel like I still have like the same drive and the same fun that I used to when I was like doing cross country skiing. And like, even as a young kid, like you're like racing for like Jeux du Québec, you know, you still have lots of pressure on you. And maybe even as a kid, you have more difficulty to deal with those pressure, because it's the first time you're in a big race, even though it's not like, when you're young, it feels like it's the biggest race ever. But no, I feel like I hope so, that I'm the same person with the same motivation, the same fun about being outside, competing, and just trying to push my limit. But I know that for some people, like since I'm still like studying and stuff, like it's not my full job. So I feel like there's probably a lot more pressure and expectation, and like for someone who's a pro full time, needs to pay their bills, and especially have a family. So I can understand that it's a lot of pressure to be able to perform on each every race. And I don't know how I'll be able to, maybe if one day I'm able to do it full time, that's going to be maybe even more challenging than right now. Like, how I'm going to be able to deal with that added pressure of, you actually need to perform to pay your bills. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to find out if like I become like a full-time pro triathlete. But I feel like I actually like where I'm I'm at right now to be able to do a few things at the same time and still be able to do those things at a good level. But I feel like it leavens the pressure a little bit. Like I've got my school stuff too and my sports stuff. So it's sort of a good balance to have. And I'm still able to get a good level at each. I feel like one of good example I like to look at is Laurent Duvernier-Tardif, the like NFL player who just like graduated as a doctor at McGill. So like he's at the top level in football, like NFL. And it's like there's basically never been like a Quebec person playing in the NFL, and he's still like studying as a doctor. So when I see that, I'm like, well, I can definitely still like do triathlon and study. So it's good to have like those models to help you see that it's possible to do different stuff. And I think that makes me like maybe more balanced throughout. Yeah.
More dynamic too. And it gives you a backup plan as well. You know, like you say, you don't know where this is going to go, or, you know, you'd like it to go. I don't even know do you want to go pro like full time? Like what's the end goal with triathlon for you? Like, is it to win a world championship? I'm always curious.
Yeah, it's weird because like I always have like, you know, when you grow up, you have like your role models. Yeah, you see like Wayne Gretzky and stuff like that. Like for me, it was like pro triathletes or like winning races or like, but also like I have like models or like people who just like, you know, Steve Magnus, who's a good running coach, and he wrote the Peak Performance and the Passion Paradox. And there's like Alex Hutchinson also, like, who's a great writer about sport and all kind of stuff, who wrote Endure. So there's a lot of like all those people also are still in the sport sphere, mm-hmm. but they're writing about articles of regarding sport and they're studying sport in general. So I have like my models in sport specifically, but also in like in sport science and writing about sport. So yeah, I don't know where I'm going with it, but I feel like it's like I always add those two type of like different goals going up at the same time. So like one day I would like to win an Ironman, but at the same time, one day I would also like to write a book about sports science or nutrition science and stuff like that. So I feel like I have those both goals together. So I'm not sure if I will be like willing to give up being able to write about those stuff that interests me just to be able to be full time. So I think like being able to do the both throughout my life will be like the ultimate goal. Yeah.
Cool.
And I feel like it's a really like fulfilling life to have different passion, and also those passion are so interconnected. So yeah, like writing a book has always been a big like dream of me, but yeah, that will be like super cool.
What's your greatest accomplishment today?
I think it was my fourth place last year at Ironman Tremblant. Because the previous year in 2017, I collapsed at like 25K on the run. Like I had no energy and I just blacked out completely.
It was hot that year?
Not really, which is weird. Like I wasn't sure. That's why we did a lot of tests to see if it was a heart problem or something like that. But my heart was actually fine. So we wasn't sure if I was just too innocent. I went too fast, so maybe it was just pacing or maybe lack of nutrition or hydration. So like a mix of different factors. But so that's why like I really wanted to perform in 2018. So just to be able to finish it, like that was my first ever Ironman to finish it, but also to be like fourth place, just so close to like Yanel Sanders and Matt Russell. And also I was super stoked about my time, which I didn't expect to do to go under 8:30. So that was like, wow. And also like the running, like it was my first, like I said, it was my first marathon ever. So I didn't even go.
Well, that was your first Ironman.
Yeah. First Ironman, the first marathon. So wow. I was like, wow. So yeah, that was really cool. Like I felt like when you have big downs, like last year, and also last year, all year I was injured with my hip. I actually wasn't able to, like I was able to train for my Ironman, but it was always hurting. And Wednesday before the Ironman, I just did a 20-minute or 30-minute run on a treadmill. And halfway, the pain was like so bad that I decided to stop. Like, I called my doctor and I was like, there's no way I can do an Ironman. And I called my coach too, and it was like, just go day by day and we'll see. Like, anyway, it's Tremblant. It's like 45 minutes from your house, so just go there. We'll see how it goes on Sunday. And like day by day, I was feeling a bit better. And on the start of the day, on the race day, I didn't feel it. I feel like just maybe it's the adrenaline of the race and like people pushing you. So because of like all those challenges, it makes, because of all those downs you have, it makes the eye so much better. And you feel like, wow, I can, just the fact of being healthy and being able to run like in pain-free, that's like a huge plus. So you're like, yeah, just that, I was super happy.
Yeah, it's a incredible performance on your part. It was a fourth place finish. It's amazing. You're up there with like some of the best. Was Cody Beal there as well?
Yeah, that's, he broke both the bike record and the overall record. Yeah, incredible. We're lucky. It was a perfect day for weather condition. Mm. So he went like 8:10, which is super fast on a challenging course like Tremblant. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's really hill. Duplessis kills me every time.
And the second time is the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have a newfound love for running now? Like as you get into longer distances, you've done a marathon now. Is like, I know running's not your best sport, so you say, but do you find yourself liking it even more now? Or
yeah, actually, I love running. Well, I love running when it goes well, you know. I feel like the what's weird is like if I have like a 30 minutes or 45 minutes run, sometimes I don't feel like doing it, you know, because it's just like 45 minutes. But if I have like a two hour and a half run, and then I can actually go explore and actually like push myself more, that's when I really love running even more, especially like running in the trails. That's like the best thing in the world. And when I'm in the middle of a long run like that, I feel like I even prefer running to swimming and biking. Like, that's like you're just alone, your thoughts, and you're like, because running is like the simplest sport ever. You know, it's like just put on shoes, or not even put on shoes if you don't want to, and you just go out running in the outside. Like, I'm not a big fan of treadmill running though. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you do in the winter? Do you train in the winter?
Yeah, I still do some treadmill running.
Yeah.
Like I train at my coach. He lives in Trois-Rivières, which is one of the reasons I decided to move there. And he changed his garage into like a big pain cave. Mm-hmm. So there's like two treadmills and there's a few like bike trainers. So we do a lot of brick training. So I feel like doing the treadmill, mix it with the cycling, makes it a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. Compared to just doing a treadmill running. But unless the weather is horrible, I still try to go outside. Like, even when the weather is horrible, I still go outside. It's just like for intensity, doing like hard workouts when it's like icy or super snowy, it's just better to do on the treadmill. But for me, like, being outside is what I do triathlon, just exploring. So as much as possible outside. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing better. I hate the treadmill too. Like, yeah. I do it in the winter when I absolutely have to, when it's like a ice storm or something like that. But other than that, even in the winter, it's outdoor training for me. And
but I feel it's actually, well, it's good. It's actually good for to help with your stroke, because you can see yourself running and your technique, and to actually build some speed work. So it's like, I love and hate relationship. Yeah, you know, it's going to help you a lot, but like, it's really boring. So. Mm-hmm.
I usually ask this question. It's kind of funny because you're pretty young, 25. I usually say, like, what would you tell a 20-year-old version of yourself? But that was only 5 years ago. But like, what would you tell like a younger version of yourself with the things you've learned and everything you've like learned through school and your experiences and stuff like that? What's a piece of advice you would give?
I think it would be to like believe in yourself, because like when I grew up, I was like a shy kid, kind of like a nerdy kid, and like wasn't good at sport. Like even like running, I love running when I was young, but it was really bad. Like wasn't able to be in the cross country running team. So I think just believing in yourself, that's what I would have told myself, and just trust the process, and you can do it. Hmm. So, yeah, just believing in yourself that you can achieve what you want to do.
For sure. I think that's super. I think it's really true what you're saying. And I've kind of like realized this, that I think a lot of people have it in them to do stuff,
yeah,
to do exciting adventures. Doesn't matter what it is. Like if they didn't think they could run a 5K and then they run a 5K, I think a lot of people have that in them to do it. But then sometimes it takes somebody to tell you, like somebody,
yeah,
to realize that you, to say like, hey, you're actually good at this, or you have, yeah, potential to be something that you're not right now, but we can see you,
yeah,
getting,
like,
there.
We all have that seed inside of us, but some people like just needs more watering done.
Yeah.
Like more.
Did someone help you realize that along the way? Did anybody, like, was there a coach or somebody that made you believe that, hey, maybe I could go pro, or was it always like something that came from inside?
I think my parents helped me a lot, like just not pushing me. Like, I wouldn't say like not pushing me too much, but just being like, it's good to be active. Like, since I was young, they always like put sport as in something that's important in life, like to be active, to go cross country skiing, like outside when I was super young, just to explore. And I think I feel like my mom used to be like a open water swimmer. So like she gave me the skills to be a good swimmer. But I feel like my dad, like he gave me the love for exploring, because I always love to like spend the weekend looking at maps of like places in the Laurentian to like go see and explore and just go hike. And so I think like that's what I try to bring in triathlon, to just like when I go outside to go run or go bike, I usually have like no plan where I want to go, and I try to make the most epic ride possible. So sometimes like it just end up being way too long. Like if I have like a 3-hour ride and I'm like halfway there, I'm like, what if I go there? And then I end up doing like a 5-hour ride. So I think just the fun of being active, but also the fun of exploring outside and exploring your own limits.
Mm-hmm.
That's what helped me a lot. But it's like so many different factors, and so many, like every coach gives you a tiny bit of advice that just adds up to being really good advice, you know? Mm-hmm.
Like a wealth of knowledge.
You learn so much from different coach, and like one coach is going to be really good at the mental strength, and someone else is going to be better at like technique and stuff like that. So you get from a lot from each and every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And also your people you train together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know my coaches, right? Kat and Kev, like that's kind of how I met you the first time was through them, and they're just like incredible people. But it's like through that relationship that I've been able to meet a bunch of people like yourself, and like interviewed Tony O'Keefe a couple of weeks ago, and all these interesting people, and they just always made it fun, like no matter what. Like when I joined, when I met them, they were training for ultras and stuff like that. So I'd tag along with them. Like I didn't know any better. I was innocent, naive, you know, and just jump on and make it fun and explore, you know?
Because you would think like they're training for Ultraman, you know, you would think they will be like some crazy people or like super geek, and they like, everything is like super, like all on the Excel sheet, and like everything is like, okay, I did this kilometer in that speed. But they're just like having fun and doing like crazy workout, but doing the workouts, they're having fun and like laughing, and that makes the workout enjoyable, and that makes the experience a lot more cool.
Mm-hmm. What does triathlon mean to you? Like, what does it mean to your life and who you are?
I think it's like, it's a way to express myself. I don't know. It's like some people have art, like they play guitar, they draw, and that's the way they express themselves. But for me, it's like, that's the way I used to like feel alive, you know, because there's no better way to feel alive than when every single inch of your body is hurting, you know, you're really alive like that. So yeah, I think that's what like triathlon mean for me. It's a big passion that someone sometimes like tends toward like an obsession sometimes, but like it's definitely a big passion for me. Yeah.
Amazing. And that's the most important thing, as long as you're passionate about it and it's still fun for you.
Yeah.
Like keep doing what you love, you know? You also have a podcast yourself, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about it? And share?
Yeah, it's a French podcast. It's called Le Podcast du Triathlète. So it's a mix of stuff. Like sometimes I do like sit down interviews, like what we just did. Talk about with other triathletes. Sometimes just people in sport in general, like open water swimmer and sport in endurance. And also we do sometimes like some racing recap after the weekend when there was big races. And I chat with my friend JP Leclerc, who's also a triathlete. And we just chat about like what happened this weekend, like what were the big races and what was cool about those races. So it's just a fun way to meet cool people. I feel like podcasting is a great, like, because usually like you don't have those like more in-depth conversation with people, like when you're just having a beer or just chatting around a pizza. Mm-hmm. But when you're like with two microphones, I feel like it's a great way to actually learn about the person who's in front of you. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love the podcast platform.
And focus on some topics and stuff like that and get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, yeah, I love to like listen to podcasts when I train, like in, like even like super long podcasts. Like,
are you listen to podcasts when you run and stuff? Or
sometimes when I bike, like I just put one in phone, and like I'm a big fan of like Ritual podcasts mm-hmm. and like other stuff like that about like health and like sport and stuff like training, something like more like deep like nutrition and stuff like that. Yeah,
cool. And sometimes it can get, the conversations are good over beer and pizza, but after a couple more beers they
kinda, yeah, they get more
yeah. Do you drink while you're training, or like what's your opinion on that kind of thing?
I definitely don't think it's bad to drink once in a while.
Yeah,
I'm not a big drinker though, but definitely after a race, I'll have a few beers or something. And if like I'm in the middle of the summer while training, a friend of mine like wants to have a beer, I won't say like, oh no, I'm in Ironman training, I can't have any alcohol in my body. Like, yeah, for sure, I'll have a beer. And like, especially like you train so much that sometimes you can also have like a beer and fries. Like, it's like, you're going to burn through it.
Yeah.
Especially since the race of the day, you've eaten like really good and like, yeah,
as long as it doesn't affect your training the next day, you're kind of
good. Yeah, it's maybe not when you're like swimming at 5:30 the next morning. It's like, okay, I want to have a big pint of beer.
Exactly. We're both Skechers ambassadors, or you're probably sponsored by them, right, for your triathlons and stuff. Is there anybody else that supports you with your triathlon career?
Yeah, there's like Ascension Vélo, which is a bike shop in the Laurentides, like on the 15. Mm. It's great bike shop. They sponsored me for the last 2 years. Skechers, the wetsuit company, Compress Sport, and Bow Racer for the clothing. Chrono Bar, which is like, because we talk about the vegan food, which is a big sponsor. I think they sponsored me before I was like pro triathlete, like, I think for like pretty much like when I started triathlon, when it was super, such a really small company. So I feel like we've both like grown together, so that was really cool. And especially like recently they've developed like new gels, and like since I've studied in nutrition, like I've helped a little bit to develop a product and give advice, so that was really cool to be part of that product process. Yeah,
awesome, very cool. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time for me today. I know you're racing tomorrow, so that's this is kind of your quiet time, which is...
But it's a good way to take a... don't think about the race for one hour. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But wish you the best of luck and a hell of a performance tomorrow. And we'll be out there cheering and watching. And we wish you luck this upcoming season as well.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Antoine.
Bye.
Bye. This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. What's really good is running with people who are fun, friendly, and positive. Whatever your experience, age, or identity, you're welcome to join us at the base of Mount Royal every Monday at 7 p.m. Just look for the group of smiling faces next to the monument. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. If you want to learn more, visit their website, iamarunner.ca, and check their Instagram, at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this episode of La Rundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also let us know what you think and follow us on Instagram at LaRundown. Now take what you've learned and run with it. The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in St. Henri, Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi. And hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.